Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that examines current events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Over the last few months, a new word has entered into the American political vocabulary, and it's been long overdue. The new word is fake news. And principled, knowledgeable Christians have known for years that the media has a secular liberal bent. Not only are issues and stories fabricated to favor political agendas, but the media chooses the wrong stories to cover. Like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. The media picks out the gnat and swallows the camel. The media has a wrong hierarchy of what constitutes the important news of the day. And if Christians with a Christian worldview ran the media, there would not simply be the same stories with a different slant, but whole different stories. Now, most Christians have never thought through how deep the fake news goes. It is not just bearing false witness in a story. It is a blind deception on the part of ungodly reporters where their whole worldview is distorted. They are the blind leaders of the blind, and they actually believe they're telling the truth, while all along they are presenting a fictitious view of the world. Even the conservative media, the conservative pundits, can be fake news stooges because they follow the stories and the emphasis created by the liberal media rather than hearing from God and reporting God's assessments. Now, liberal reporting is so bad that certainly we applaud the efforts of the conservative media to expose the lies of the left. But let's remember, even the conservative media is not seeing and reporting the events in this world through a biblical understanding. We don't hear well-known conservative talk show hosts addressing the spiritual apostasy in our day or how to fix it biblically. So not only do Christian leaders need to warn the Christian community about the lies of the mainstream media, we also have to warn Christians to keep their guard up when listening to the conservative media. Even when one listens to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Mark Levin or Dennis Prager, we should be asking ourselves, is this the real story? Is this the real problem and is this the real solution? But for today's program, I would like to diagnose the fake news in the mainstream media. But before I list for you how it works and what we should look for, let me begin with this question. Why do the large media organizations in America have a liberal bias? And there is no need for me to take time to prove that fact. Every poll shows that those who work in the media are more liberal than the American public. Only 7% of journalists identify as Republicans. According to a recent Politico survey, not a single one of the 72-member White House press corps is a registered Republican. And in the last election, most major newspapers supported Hillary Clinton. And research shows that the media spoke more favorably of Democratic candidates than Republican candidates. In fact, it was evident that the media was out to destroy Republican candidates by reporting scandals. But why does the media lean more left than the general public? I mean, professions, institutions tend to be a cross-section of the American public. So why would the media be more liberal than the general public? If 50% of Americans voted for Donald Trump, you would think that 50% of the media would support Donald Trump. So let me suggest two reasons. The first is the obvious fact that there are so many more non-Christians than Christians. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter in through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are there who find it." So Jesus would then speak of the world as hating us. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. If it weren't for the fact that the majority of the world is lost, spiritually, Jesus would not have spoken in terms of the world hating us. There is a default antagonism toward God among the majority of people in our nation. And any media will reflect the majority. If we live in a world that is at enmity with God, this will be reflected in the reporters and in the politicians. Now, you've heard me say on this program plenty of times that I believe true Christians make up at best 2 or 3% of the population. Now, there might be another 20 or 30% of Americans who are religiously conservative because of the salt and light of the 2 or 3%. But recognize that true born-again Christians are in a minority in America. The vast majority are dead in their trespasses and sins. They walk according to the course of this world. They are by nature children of wrath, Ephesians chapter 2. They're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can they be, Romans chapter 8. They hold to a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, 2 Timothy 3. So given mankind's fallen nature, of course the news media is going to lean anti-God, anti-biblical morality. 1 John 5:4. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. What sells is not the Christian worldview, but a humanist, even quasi-religious worldview. In fact, given man's fallen condition, we should be surprised that it's not worse than it already is. But we know God supernaturally restrains what would be otherwise. So the first factor to explain liberal bias in the media is spiritual demographics. A second factor is choice of professions. The media industry is the church of the world. If you're a non-Christian and you want to change the world, you become a professor at a secular college, you become a politician, you become a media reporter or writer. If you're a Christian and you want to change the world, you move toward the work of the church or the work of missions. There is somewhere between 150,000 and 200,000 ordained clergy in America that we would consider true ministers of the gospel. Now, surprisingly, the news media industry only employs 33,000 full-time newsroom employees in television, radio, and print. And the secularists have taken over that industry. And they tend to hire and promote their own. Now, some may conclude from this, the church has dropped the ball, that we should have gone into the news business. Christian colleges should have been putting out more students with degrees in journalism and communications. But don't be so quick to judge. I suspect that Christians have done more eternal good and more good for our country by being involved in the work of the church, the work that God has called us to. Because for all the noise that the media makes, the real work in changing the world is done working in grassroots evangelism and discipleship. Now back to the subject of fake news. One small factor behind this recent upsurge in fake news may be the radical decline in the media. Employment in the media is half of what it was 25 years ago because people aren't buying papers and people are expecting to get their news for free on the internet. And this has resulted in the news media cutting reporting staff. Serious investigative reporting is time-consuming and it's expensive, so the media has switched to quickly throwing together superficial stories and opinion pieces. it is cheaper to make the news, surveys, and opinions. Now, I'm not blaming economics, but economics can drive sloppy reporting. For example, Rush Limbaugh in his program doesn't have to pay to get any stories. All he has to do is read the stories already written and then comment on them. He can talk for 3 hours and have a huge audience and make a boatload of money on advertising, and he doesn't have to spend a dime on investigative reporting. And the rest of the media has caught on to this. So rather than reporting the boring facts, which can be very costly to investigate and compile, they are filling the time with editorializing to death the few facts that they have, which is what people want to hear. People are actually moral creatures, and our real interest is not the facts, but what do these facts mean? Why are we here? Where are we going? And what's the best way to live? And those in the media don't want to play the neutrality game anymore, like the reporters from the old school. Life is more rewarding when you're a crusader for the values you believe in. Reporters want to be engaged supporting the left in this culture war. So now let me just list some ways fake news is reported. Again, please understand that fake news does not come about by outright lies. It comes about by reporting opinions, leaks, hearsay. In a recent news conference, one of the reporters asked President Trump, "How could it be fake news if it's true?" And the answer is this. If I report the lies said by somebody else, according to this source or according to this survey, am I not reporting the truth about those people's opinions? I am reporting the truth about the lie. I am accurately representing the views of others. But being the media, I am spreading the lie as if it were a fact. So here's a short list of fake news techniques. First, make an opinion a news story. People's opinions never used to be so much a part of the news as they are today. All the media has to do to paint a negative image of a certain politician is to report many stories of his opponents saying negative things about him, such as this or that person says Donald Trump is dangerous. All the media has to do to create an untruth, or rather an opinion they want to popularize, is to report more negative criticism about an opponent. Choose good stories about a candidate you favor. Report bad stories about a candidate you oppose. Mika Brzezinski with MSNBC recently was quoted as saying, "Our job is to control exactly what people think." And this is how they do it, by making opinions the news. And it's very effective. Look at how the media destroyed Sarah Palin. So much so that I started hearing many conservatives despising her without any good reason. And look at how they took a terrible candidate like Hillary Clinton, made her acceptable. She had so much negative baggage that the media could have easily kept Hillary from being the Democratic presidential candidate. And a case could be made that the media gave Donald Trump more face time because they wanted him to be the Republican candidate, because they thought he would split the Republican Party, but it backfired on them. The media does work to influence elections and public opinion by reporting opinions as news. Second, turn hearsay into news. And the stories begin with the statement, "sources say." Who are those sources? Well, anybody can say anything. People naturally assume that notable media outlets are receiving inside information from reliable sources, legitimate officials. But there's no way to confirm this. For instance, there was a news story a number of weeks ago that said sources say the Trump team is in disarray. Well, not only is that a subjective opinion, but who's saying it? The White House janitor? A doorman? Don't put it past the news media to make up sources or to use unreliable sources. Remember, the media is driven to make controversial headlines to get people's attention to sell the news. And they don't have to reveal their sources, so nobody can ever check them. One of the big things you'll find in the internet is numerous fake titles, just to get people to click on a site to increase traffic. The internet is becoming less honest, not more honest. Now, after the president's news conference, where he excoriated the media for putting out fake news, the media followed up the next few days with all sorts of quotes and stories about First Amendment freedom of speech rights and how a democracy needs a free and independent media, that the media is to be the public watchdog. But the media failed to address the question, who is to be the watchdog of the media? So I don't think we should have a problem with our elected officials routinely criticizing the media. Someone needs to hold them to account. Number three, fake news can be created by guilt by association, such as accusing Attorney General Jeff Sessions of collaborating with the Russians to influence the election on the basis that Sessions met with the Russian ambassador twice. Now, it has since come out that many Democrats also had conversations and meetings with the Russian ambassador. But by publicizing Sessions' meetings, the effect was to further the narrative that the Trump presidency is illegitimate because he was colluding with the Russians. It doesn't matter if there was any real evidence. It's guilt by association, by insinuating that there might be a connection in order to create the perception of a scandal. Number four, there's something called opposition research, where political candidates actually pay researchers to get some dirt on their opponents. And then they share it with the media. And guess which dirt gets published? The dirt on the candidates that the media opposes ideologically. There is a selective suppression of the truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. One of the condemnations of fallen humanity is not just the ungodliness and the unrighteousness, but a deliberate suppression of the truth. Number five, spin. Isaiah 29:16, the prophet Isaiah says to his ungodly critics, you turn things around, or rather you put a spin on things. Every story can be spinned to favor your side or position, even if it begins as a negative story for your side. For example, the whole story of Podesta's hacked emails. The real story was the corruption disclosed in those emails. But the media turned the story into a story about the crime of the Russian hackers. It kind of reminds me of a teenager whose parents find drugs in his room. Rather than accepting his guilt, what does the teenager do? He calls his parents evil for invading his privacy. He tries to take the heat off of his illegal drug use. The Podesta story was not about the hacking. The real crime that should have been reported was what was found in the emails. But notice that the media changed the ethical meaning of the story. One famous satirist once said, there is nothing more base than those who wait to see which party someone belongs to before deciding the goodness or badness of his actions. Because of time, let me end here. Know what to watch for. But the other big story here is that it is a sign of the times that the public is now distrusting the media. And what else would we expect from a society that has abandoned God and God's truth? Isaiah 59, truth has stumbled in the streets. Yes, truth is lacking. Jeremiah 7:28, you shall say to them, this is a nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God or accept correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. And so our media, in losing its Christian morality, is starting to look like the media in the old Soviet Union or the media in communist China. Only a Christian people will have an honest media. If a nation becomes ungodly, the media will become dishonest and not even care if it's dishonest. Truth becomes relative, and truth can be whatever you want it to be. And so now our media is filled with lies. In a Gallup poll last year, only 14% of Republicans trust the media. Only 30% of independents trust the media, and only 51% of Democrats trust the media. More than half the population doesn't believe or trust the media anymore. What a change. It's lost its credibility, and that's a good thing, since they're no longer reporting the truth. So we're now living in a world with fake news. Get used to it. And you know fake news is nothing new. Satan was the originator of fake news. His whole system is built upon spreading a false view of reality. Paul writes about the apocalypse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the world will embrace the Antichrist because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So fake news and the lie is the MO of this world. Remember Korah? He spread the lie that Moses was exalting himself. 2 Samuel 15, David's son Absalom used to stand at the gate and spread the lie that the king was not giving anyone justice. Ahab and Jezebel spread the spin that the famine was Elijah's fault. And Jesus' opponents accused him of eating and drinking with sinners. But they failed to point out that he was eating and drinking with repentant sinners. And at his trial, the opponents found false witnesses to twist his words. The Bible is filled with accounts of the world's fake news. And although we're now calling it fake news, the Bible more generally calls it the lie. The lie is not merely something that people say, it's something that people believe and think and live. And so in the final chapter of the Bible, the lost are described as everyone who loves and practices lying. They hold to a fictitious view about man and sin and God and salvation, so they don't have to do business with the true God. But there are those who practice the truth, and they come to the light. John 3:20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. I pray that you will become one of those who are of the truth. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. To listen to this program again or to download it, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. May God richly bless you as you grow in a knowledge of His Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we be people of the truth. May we love the truth. May we witness the truth. For the truth is Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.